Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, do you douse? Are you a douser? Maybe a lot of you are, because otherwise you wouldn't be that interested in Energy Stew if it didn't include a little bit of dousing here and there, maybe a lot. And I love the subject matter. And to help us talk about this is a man who's been on a number of Energy Stew shows in the last couple of years. He's a wonderful author and a man who's done immense dowsing in the universe and has so much to tell us. Jim Willis, welcome back to Energy Stew.
Thank you, Peter. Good to be with you again, as always.
And I'm excited because this is something that you learned. I don't know when you learned it, but when you moved into the woods, you discovered things there.
Yeah, that's right.
That were amazing. There were energy, different kinds of energy flows and currents, and also ancient information.
Yeah.
And it takes dowsing to really dive into that.
You know, it does. And I didn't know it when I came here. Matter of fact, when I've told you before in the past, when we've talked, my wife and I came out here, the whole idea was to stay for a year. It was kind of a spiritual retreat. We wanted to get in touch with the essential spirit that, as a minister, I had been preaching about for all these years.
Well, you once said it was to wrestle with God.
Wrestle with God. That's exactly how I put it. And we were coming out here to just go on retreat, a spiritual retreat for a year. And that was 11 years ago, and we're still here. And in the midst of all of this, in the first year we were here especially, we were busy, but it was a different kind of busy than we'd had before. We were out in the woods alone all day. We were working in the woods. We were clearing paths, and we spent a lot of time in meditation, a lot of time in contemplation. And our whole lives just kind of slowed down like they never had before. And all of a sudden, one day, I will never forget it. I don't know why I decided I wanted to learn how to douse about 11 years ago. I had seen some dowsers work with water before, looking for well water, you know, places to drill wells and that kind of thing. But I didn't really believe in it. All my life, I was kind of aware of it, but I had no idea really what it was or certainly how to go about it. But one day I woke up and I said, I want to learn how to douse. So I went into the local hardware store, and believe it or not, they didn't have any dowsing rods. So what I
make your own.
I got the biggest gauge copper wire that I could. And I brought home, cut it into about 2 19-inch pieces, and then bent them in the shape of an L. We call it an L rod. Right. There's other ways to do it. Some people use a forked willow stick, especially. Some people use a pendulum and maybe either a crystal or some kind of a weight. But I was using dowsing rods, these L rods, and you put them they're in the shape of an L.
They have some L rods here.
Yeah. You know, for those of you who aren't familiar with it, you put them in the, you know, they're bent in the kind of a shape of an L, and you hold them in your hand so they're balanced, and then you try not to affect them at all. It takes a little knack to make sure that you're not, you know, deliberately turning them or so that they're free to move. But when you get the balance, and so I decided, okay, I'm going to go out and I'm going to learn how to douse. I'm going to go out and look for water. And I went out, started dowsing around the woods, and struck out totally, absolutely nothing. I even went to the place where I knew where our well was, and I knew there was a water line that ran from the well to the house, walked across it, nothing at all. And I didn't know what to do. I figured it wasn't going to work. I thought maybe I just didn't have the knack or something like that. But I came in, I did what we all do when we strike out. We go online, right? We go check out the internet. So I went to the internet and I looked at all these different instruction things out there, and none of them really resonated until I came to a YouTube video by the man who became a mentor, whom I've never met. His name is Hamish Miller, and he is the grandfather of all dowsers in England, a very famous dowser in England. He died before I could ever meet him, but I did travel over there one day to do a series of lectures on world religions, and I spent some time with his wife, Ba Miller, who was also a very good dowser. But while I was there, I was also staying at the house of the man who is very instrumental in the British Society of Dowsers. And he took me out dowsing, but that was all in the future. At the time when I first started dowsing, I didn't know any of this, but I saw this YouTube video by Hamish Miller, and he talked about dowsing for earth energy. And that sounded kind of interesting. So I went out in the front yard of our house, and I began to walk around just asking if there was any energy lines in our house. And lo and behold, I took the step that has changed my life forever. One step, and all of a sudden the rods crossed just like I was banging into a wall. Wow. And I had no idea what. I stepped back and I tried it again, same thing. I went across and I came back from the other way, and a good distance. Turned out after I measured it, it was 84 and a half inches away from where my rods first collapsed. When I was coming back from the other side, they collapsed on that side too. It was like I had hit a stream. And I asked if it was water, and there was nothing. But when I asked if this was earth energy, all of a sudden the rods just crossed, almost hit me in the face. They were so strong. And lo and behold, I had discovered a ley line that was existing right on our house. Nowadays, they call them energy lines. But it was, we had built our house right on one. And it ran right through our house. And I measured it in the front yard. I measured it in the backyard. I actually went out. I've gone and doused this line at least a mile into the woods in all directions, sometimes more. And 84 and a half inches every single time. And as long as I was concentrating on earth energy, the rods would respond. Since then, when the bubble had burst and I became a believer all of a sudden in dowsing, now I've doused for water and found it. I was amazed, as a matter of fact. We had a electric company was putting in electric wires down our road, and they knew that there was a pipeline that a neighbor had put in, a neighbor who lives quite some distance away, but he had put in this pipeline to get water to his house from the road, and they didn't want to get in the way of this pipeline. So they were trying to find it, and they couldn't find it. They were digging and digging and digging. So I went over and I said, you want me to get my dowsing rods and I'll come and help you. And the guy said, no, don't worry. Now, this was an electric company. They had all of these fancy equipment and everything else. The guy said, no, don't bother with your dowsing rods. I've got mine in the truck. And so he went into the truck. I went and got mine. And within a matter of minutes, probably less than a minute, between the two of us, we had located where the water line was, so they had marked it off so they could stay away. But I'll never forget, here, this electrical company with all of the equipment, all of the high-tech gear you'd want and everything else, and yet he had to use the dowsing rods in order to find this.
And yet the dowsing rods don't do anything unless they know what you're looking for.
Exactly, yeah. And I think that's a clue to teach us a little about how dowsing really works. There's no magic, I don't think, in the rods themselves. I don't think there's any metaphysical thing to it or anything like that. I like to picture it as, you and I remember old, those little black and white televisions that had rabbit ears on them, you know, that you could pick up and move. And, when the picture wasn't good, you go over and you grab the rabbit ears and you'd pick them up, and all of a sudden you'd turn a certain way and the picture would come in. And that was proof that although you didn't know it at the time, even before you got your television set, your house was filled with all of these radio or television signals going through the air. and you were walking through them all the time, but you never knew it until you picked up the rabbit ears and moved them a little bit, and you could see that your body had become a dowsing rod, so to speak, and the proof of it was right there on the television. And it just made me convinced that there's all kinds of earth energies and other kinds of energies that are surrounding us and moving through us at all times. And they're always there. We're just not aware of them. And I think what the dowsing rods do, when you focus in and concentrate on the kind of energy or water or whatever it is you're looking for, all of a sudden those dowsing rods tell you what you're looking for and respond to it. They become the rabbit ears to your antenna, so to speak. And so when you're concentrating on water, they will work for water, but not earth energy. You work for earth energy, they'll work for that, but they won't do water. And it's all they are, I think, is a dial that shows us what our bodies are really experiencing outside of our area of perception.
Well, for me, it's even more than that, because you can actually talk to a dowsing rod.
Oh, yeah, yeah. As a matter of fact, once the bubble burst, as I said, and I began to do this, I began to understand that I could ask yes or no questions. And in my case, the rods would, if I asked a question where the answer was yes, they would cross. If the answer was no, they would just stay still. And I began to have these wonderful conversations. For instance, I went over to the well, and I had forgotten how deep the well it was when they came over to drill our well. But I stood over the well, and I would ask a series of what we call bracketing questions. Is the well more than 200 feet deep? And the rods would say no. Is it more than 100 feet? And they would cross, and they would say yes. Is it more than 150 feet? They know. Is it more than 120 feet? Yes. And I would, by zeroing it in, I came to understand exactly how deep our well was. And then after I had the answer, I wrote it down, and I went back in my files and found the original bill that the well driller had me fill out. And I had guessed the depth of our well within 2 feet.
Wow. That's one thing. But also, I can take it even, and I'm sure you can too, even deeper, in that once you start using it a lot, once you start asking for yes or no answers,
yeah,
the only limitation is the quality of your questions.
Exactly, exactly.
And then taking it farther is that, it for me, and I teach this also, it opens up your hearing.
Yes.
So that you're actually receiving questions to ask.
Yeah.
You don't know what to ask. And if you don't know what to ask, they don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, we say, well, why do they have to play peekaboo with us like that? Well, it's just that, it's just like a computer, you know, there's ones and O's, you know, or X's and O's or whatever it is. And the answer is yes or no. They can't have dialogues with us unless we ask intelligent questions.
We're the software.
Pardon? Yeah, exactly. I think that's a great way of putting it, Peter. You know, since then, I've discovered all kinds of things. For instance, I didn't know until then, really, that a lot of police departments, big town, big city police departments, have a dowser on staff, or have, at least on retainer. So when they have come across somebody who's lost, for instance, they can bring in a topographical map, and the dowser will look over with a pendulum at this point, over that topographical map, and ask questions and begin to pinpoint where the lost person is. And the police don't want to say anything about that, because that sounds kind of spooky to the average taxpayer. You know what? Wait a minute, where are my taxpayers going? And one police officer, I used to be a part-time police officer, one police officer said, well, the only reason we do this with dowsers is because it works.
Yeah, right.
I thought that was a pretty good answer.
So you're suggesting, though, that, you know, there are different dowsing instruments, and yeah, a lot of people use pendulums. There are actually are major dowsing societies all over the place.
Yeah, the American Society of Dowsers is one of them. They have chapters all over the country.
Right, and in New York City, we have a chapter that I don't know how active it is anymore. And I actually was invited to speak at it one time, and I did. Uh-huh. There was a large audience. There were many, many people who came in the middle of Manhattan who are dowsers.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. If any of your listeners are interested, if they go to my website, which is www.jimwillis.net, and then somewhere on the website, I think it's on the first page, it has my YouTube page listed, or they can go right to YouTube and just type in Jim Willis and my picture will come up. And there is a video that I did on dowsing a couple of years ago when I was asked to speak at the American Society of Dowsers.
They have a big convention every year. I think they have it up in St. Johnsbury, Vermont.
It was up there. When I went, it was up in New York at Sarasota Springs.
Oh, they moved.
And we had it at the college up there. And a lot of people and a lot of great workshops. And that's where I did mine. And they recorded it, so I was able to put it on my YouTube page.
Right.
If anybody's interested in it, please look it up. I hope it'll work for you.
Yeah, and I take it to a different level also, because I use pendulums a lot.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I love them. I'm not as good with my L-rods as I'd like to be. But I also use a dowsing rod, a single rod that I can hold out in front of me.
Oh, I see,
And it'll move in different directions according to what I'm asking it.
Sure.
And then...
It's also a great way to connect. Now I'm going to take it way out there now. Lo and behold, I actually discovered another entity who lives in another dimension.
I wanted to ask you about that because you mentioned it in a previous show.
Yeah.
That this entity is from ancient times.
Yes, ancient times, but living in a totally different dimension than we are used to. I gave him a name, Sobuko, and I'm almost convinced that this entity is actually in one way me on the other side. Right. But it was an ancient shaman that lived right here on the spot of land where we lived, and for whatever reason chose to stay here, become a spiritual bodhisattva, as the Buddhists would say, and actually work with us. That sounds kind of weird until you begin to understand that this is a very common idea in quantum physics right now. Hugh Everett, a great physicist who had lived a terribly tragic life, he was the one that came up with the whole idea of multiple universes and collapsing universes. And whenever a decision is made or a measurement is made, as he said, a new universe like pops into existence as a result of that. And he gave us the multiverse, and his ideas were considered so crazy at the time that nobody paid him any attention.
But when you start thinking about infinity,
yeah, exactly.
No end to we could have trillions of universes.
Oh, more than that. Yeah, infinite number. There's a lot of space in infinite, infinity. And anyway, you know, Hugh Everett was considered such a maverick that he was ostracized. He couldn't find a job in physics. He had to go work for the government. Thank goodness he did, because it was his ideas that probably got us through the Cold War during the Cuban Missile Crisis. He was the one that came up with the whole idea of the basis of mutual assured destruction. He was a brilliant man. And now his ideas are accepted by many physicists.
Well, let's just say that in quantum reality, everything, there's no linearity. Quantum actually moves in ways that aren't bridled by linear.
Exactly. Measures. Yeah.
And so what we actually have to think about is quantum entanglement.
Exactly.
And we entangle with like-minded consciousness.
Right.
And it can be in any form of of other universes or other times, other periods, other ways of identifying ourselves. For instance, you and this ancient soul might be the same.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you're quantumly entangled in the present, because time doesn't matter in quantum.
Exactly. World. Exactly. When we talk about entanglement, for your listeners who may not be familiar with the idea, you can take a particle here and put a clockwise spin on it. And if it is entangled with another particle, that other particle may be all the way across the universe, and it will instantly begin to go counterclockwise. In other words, the decision of a particle on one side of the universe to have a clockwise turn was balanced by its entangled particle on the other side of the universe, which is now having a counterclockwise turn. Two different choices, and yet they're made. Now, if that can happen with particles, why can't it happen with with all of us? Because we are made of those
particles. We're entangled.
We are entangled. And who knows that in dowsing, you can actually, with a pendulum or with dowsing rods, you can actually understand what might happen. You know, we'd say, I made a decision. I wish I made a different decision. What would have happened had I made a different decision? Somewhere in this infinite quantum universe, quantum reality, there is another you in another place who has made the other decision and is living the life. And neither of you are aware of each other. Neither of you are aware of the fact that you are entangled. And one is, so to speak, spinning clockwise and the other counterclockwise. And yet you are entangled, and the dowsing rods remember that, and they can actually ask questions of this entity on the other side with which
you are entangled. We can ask questions of it. All the dowsing rods will do with to the quantum consciousness.
Exactly.
Entanglement that we're asking about.
Right. Right. It's a phenomenon that a lot of people just considered it until relatively recently. They just considered it all these wild woo-woo new age stuff, you know, but there are serious physicists talking about this right now. It's as if dowsers who have been around for thousands upon thousands upon thousands of years have been exploring this landscape with their dowsing rods and with their intuition. The very same landscape that our physicists have recently discovered through the idea of mathematics. So it's as if the world of science and the world of intuition, metaphysics, is actually now on one, merging into one lane, one highway. We live in a pretty exciting age when we can begin to look at this.
And all run by consciousness.
Yes, exactly.
And, right. Yeah. And our conscious in the sense of beingness of our presence to ask and to know and to experience.
Yeah, we are all, I'm sure, expressions of consciousness. This whole idea of consciousness originating in our brains, I just don't think it holds any water. Our brains are a receiver of consciousness. They're more an interpreter than a generator. They don't generate consciousness, they just receive it and interpret it for us. And the dowsing rods, in a sense, can bypass that, the intellectual thing, and actually just simply show what our bodies know, but which we don't know how to perceive because we have forgotten how.
Right. Now, I also identify our bodies as dowsing rods. Mm-hmm. I use my fingers and my hands as dowsing rods all the time.
Sure.
And they only are an extension of my whole body.
Yeah.
So your body can, you know, sway in different directions according to, the way a pendulum or a dowsing rod would work.
Right, right. That's a technique that people are now calling deviceless dowsing. And that's perfectly fine because, I mean, all the dowsing rods are a dial, so to speak, that shows what our bodies are experiencing. And if we become really in tune with it, eventually there are times when we might not even need the dowsing rods, as you say.
I remember there was a guy in our school, came to our classes. Can't remember his name right now. It was a long time ago. And he was in his 70s and he was a dowser, and he used pendulums. And he was coming because he wanted to learn really more about how to use his hands and the energies and his fingers and all that. But he was so reliant on his dowsing pendulum that he would fall back on that all the time. And so just in classes, we would say, okay, what are you getting in your pendulum that we're, you know, how does that correspond to what we're getting with our fingers and our hands?
Sure, sure.
And he would show us, and he'd say, "You see, here's my pendulum moving."
Yeah.
And his whole arm would move to move the pendulum. It would look like he was cheating.
Yeah.
You know, because he was moving the pendulum with his arm, his hand. And we said, "No, I don't know. You know, how can we trust what you're getting? Because you're moving the pendulum." And it turned out that he didn't know his arm was moving.
Oh,
his arm was part of the pendulum.
He obviously had become dependent upon the pendulum and didn't realize that the pendulum was just showing something that he always was doing by himself.
He was the pendulum himself.
You know, I'm absolutely convinced too that our animals, our pets who live with us, for instance, they're aware of things that we don't know.
And you know, they also operate on frequencies that we
exactly
don't know.
Yeah,
you know, there's so many vast I don't know what you call it, broad spectrums of frequencies that we live in, and we only own a very, very small part
very,
of it.
Very, very small.
And animals own many different parts of it and broader parts of it, or in ways that we can't even identify how they know what they're doing.
When we had this proven to us beyond a shadow of a doubt, my wife had a wonderful cat who was with her and with us for a long time, and now if something's wrong with me, my wife will often use a pendulum and douse my body and discover where the problem is. It might be in the heart, in the leg. But this cat, when I would come in from a run or something and I would lay down and I would hurt myself somehow,
the cat would know.
The cat would come up, jump up on me, look at me in the face, and go right to the place that was hurting and lay down against it.
Yes, animals have incredible.
I'm sure that cat, you know, had I had a dowsing rod, I would have found it. But that cat was able to do it by itself.
Dogs are being used nowadays to diagnose cancer.
Yeah, yes.
But anyway, we're really at the end of the show. We're right at the very end. Jim Willis, and you gave your contact information. And you can give it again.
Quickly. Sure. It's www.jimwillis.net. And that will give you all my other social media things, YouTube and Facebook and all that.
Books.
And it will also tell you about one of the books that I wrote last year about dowsing that has a lot to do with dowsing. And it's called The Quantum Akashic Field, which is a guide for out-of-body travelers.
And we did a show about
Right.
All right, Jim Willis, thanks so much. I love talking with you.
Thank you, Peter. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, great. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heartriver.org. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening.